Hey friends, today I want to tell you about Melissa Arlena. She's one of our TMA favorite go-to SEO educators for photographers. With over 15 years of experience in both photography and SEO, she's crafted services that truly understand and meet your needs. Her aim is to make SEO simple for maternity, newborn, and family photographers. And if you're like me, I need simple when it comes to SEO. Her favorite way to help photographers tackle their website SEO is her signature group coaching program, Picture Perfect Rankings. Over a 4-month time frame, you'll learn how to do keyword research, homepage and portfolio optimization, and blogging for 2024 that clients actually want to read and drive crazy traffic to your website. Plus, you'll have her to ask questions of and get her eyes on your work just to make sure it's perfect. For our listeners, there's a little perk, 20% off of shop products and courses. So head to melissaarlena.com/picture-perfect-rankings and let's get your work the attention it deserves.
Let's say you have 5 of something and 4 of them are the same price and you've got one that's significantly higher. My mind automatically goes to that's the better one just because it's priced higher. That's where I want to position myself. I don't want to be in the rankings with everybody else. Obviously, you need to base everything on your cost of doing business. But even in the mindset that you're at right now, where you're looking at everyone around you, take it out of that and elevate yourself to where you're not competing with them. Maybe you're competing with, and me and Jenny say this all the time, like you're competing with one other person that's really expensive in your area, not 50 other people that are $400 for a newborn session. With weddings, if you are hesitant about training someone and whatever, make your entry-level wedding price $10,000. That's it. And so sure, you'll do a wedding, but it's going to be $10,000. Your work demands that, like absolutely 1,000%. And so if someone wants you to do their wedding, they'll pay it.
Welcome to the Motherhood Anthology Podcast, photography education for a business you love. My name is Kim Box, and I'm your host with the collaboration and help of my co-hosts and business partners at the Motherhood Anthology, Jenny Krueger and Allison Craig. Hi, Grace Ann.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Do you go by Grace Ann?
I do go by Grace Ann, the double name.
I love a double name. Where are you from?
I'm from Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay. See, it's the Southern.
It is. And my daughter has a double name too. It continues.
What's her name? Say it's so Southern.
It is. Her name's Clara Joy.
Oh. I love the name Clara.
That sounds like a character from a book.
She is a character. Clara, that's for sure.
You want to just start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I live in Lexington. I live in Lexington, Kentucky, and I have my husband and our 3-year-old daughter. And I started shooting weddings 6 years ago, and I loved it. I was living the life of just editing during the week and having my big wedding day and then sleeping in on Sunday and then insert child, and everything flipped upside down because mom life is so different. My priorities changed and my schedule changed. And I had the most difficult time transitioning to being a work from home mom because I wanted to really be present with my daughter, but I also had all this work to do. And then Saturday would come and I would have this big wedding day and I just started to dread it. I've spent the last couple of years trying to transition into motherhood and it's been quite the journey.
Are you still shooting weddings?
I do. I've been scaling back each year a little bit. So I was, before I got pregnant, doing like 20 to 30 a year. And then that moved down to about 15. And this year it's 7. But my main goal is to hopefully get out of them completely.
What do you feel like your biggest challenge is with the transition?
My biggest challenge, I feel, would be like rebranding myself, because I built this brand for myself and my city as a wedding photographer. And I do have a lot of business with newborns and families, but I feel like I just want to make it a profitable one. And I've spent so much time in the membership, really learning cost of business and asking a lot of questions in the Facebook group about pricing structures. And I've really stepped out of fear and done a lot of things that everyone's encouraged me to do, but I feel like I still haven't nailed down that brand. And one of those things being, I really would love to sell more prints and albums and make sure my clients are dressed according to my brand and they feel good about what they're in and they're getting what they're seeing on my Instagram, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I'm going to chime in here because I looked at your Instagram before we started this. I'm scrolling it again right now. And your work is literally stunning. Like,
thank you.
Whatever like issues that you are having with feeling like you need to establish your brand or figure out what to show or like what you're doing, it's done. What's done is, I think it's probably just a little bit of all we feel like someone else is better than us, or they're doing this better, or maybe I haven't been doing this for very long, or I haven't perfected this, but your clients don't know that. And from looking at your Instagram and your work, they would never guess that because I don't think it's true. And so I think a lot of it is probably that fear of saying, this is what I do, this is what I'm the best at, this is what I specialize in, and taking control of that.
Yeah, just walking in that confidence, which is something I feel like I lack a lot of because I still feel so new according to motherhood, because I got a studio space in 2022, and that's what really like transitioned my business, because I was able to have newborns and families and milestones in this beautiful space. I'm having a hard time getting clients to really take the leap in investing in things like albums, which I think would really help my income and getting me to that price point that I want to be at.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, and I say this all the time, but I think a lot of it is just really like showing that and almost just like feeling like you're oversharing that from start to finish at every step along the way, but also like your pricing structure. And again, you probably know this too, but it can really like encourage or discourage or be neutral in terms of the sale of products. And I think that makes a huge difference. And I think that's not that it's not talked about, but it's not talked about enough outside of TMA maybe, or just in general, that the way that you structure all of your prices, whether you sell the same photographer could sell the same products, and the structure of how you're doing it can really propel that forward or not do that. Can you tell us a little bit about like how you're have been structured or are structured now? I saw on your website, essentially, I'm not sure if they were session fees for different portraits or if that included digital images.
Yeah. So for my regular sessions, like Milestones Maternity, the starting price is $299 and that includes 15 digital images. I just switched that really recently to where they have to purchase additional digitals. And I'm so thankful for the membership because I was so afraid to do that. I was like, no one's going to upgrade. And then everyone was like, do it. I'm doing it. You can do it too. And I did it. And I've only had one family not upgrade. So that's been really successful. But for newborns, all of the digitals are included for that one. And then I have my membership package for first year. It's like a first year plan. And the newborn, all digitals are included. And then for their other sessions, you have to upgrade. So I guess one question I have, is that like too confusing for my client? Do I just need to like simplify 100%. It more? Even saying it out loud, I'm like, wait, that's actually really confusing.
You're not, I understand it, but like also we're in the industry. And so Kim and Allison and I are probably sitting here going, yeah, that makes sense to us, but also please stop doing that. First of all, here's the thing. Your work is way too good for the prices that you're charging.
Like
whether
way
you're
too
including
good.
15 digitals or all the digitals. That is number one right there. Number two, depending on if you have done your cost of doing business or not and are following that or not, I would say that yes, you're in a really tough position of it's hard to even imagine transitioning from weddings to full-time portraits only and making the income that you are either used to making or want to make, because right now your portraits are so low. And this is super common with wedding photographers. They almost like compare their wedding prices and the time involved to the portrait prices and the time involved. And it's not like a really accurate comparison. And I don't know, 9 times out of 10, their wedding pricing and income from those weddings is subsidizing their portraits. Whereas if you only did portraits and extrapolated that to that full time, you would not be making the income that you need to run a business and run a profitable business and pay yourself a salary and all of the things that we want you to do.
Yeah.
Raisanne, just for those that are listening with us, would you share what your typical wedding client, what do they pay for a day for a wedding?
Average around $5,000 to $6,000 for a wedding day.
And how much are you charging for a newborn session and all the digitals?
Around $450. I think I'll be honest. A lot of it is worrying about the prices of other people in my city and worrying that if I charge more, then I'm not going to have clients because they're just going to go to the cheaper one. If I'm being completely honest, that is where most of the fear is from, because I pour my heart and soul into my newborn sessions, especially with editing and just the experience. I've really tried to build that, but just the pricing just scares me.
But your work is so beautiful. I think you have an upper hand because you get, as a wedding photographer, you get to build rapport and relationships with these people before they have children. And so you already have a connection to them and they've paid your pricing. Now, I do understand, because I come from the same scenario, that mom and dad are typically paying for the wedding. There is a disconnect between, sometimes weddings are more for show. I don't know how to say that in a better way, but we're keeping up with what our friends did for their daughter's wedding kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. And then portraits become a little more private. And so there's not that, maybe that you're not trying to keep up with the Jones kind of thing with portraits, but your work is so beautiful and they have the budget apparently because they're paying higher prices for weddings. So I just have a question, because I too, like, our business is what we're established and known for being the high-end wedding photographer for our area. And so have you thought about maybe adding associate photographers and letting them pick up the weddings and then you focusing on the motherhood stuff? Because you put a lot of work into that. I think about that all the time. So many years and so many hours to get, you know, to be known for that. Like, it's hard for me to walk away. And if it's something that you're like, I don't even want to think about that side of the business anymore, but is it something that you could train or hire associates to keep doing and you could step back?
I honestly have not considered that option, but now I will be. I think that's a really great idea. It's just, I'm wanting to step back from weddings because it's the actual day of that I'm not in love with anymore. And I want to be home with my family. And, but at the same time, trusting a photographer to represent my brand, I would definitely have to really go down and find someone that I would really trust. But I think that's a great idea that I honestly have not considered. So I appreciate that recommendation for sure.
So I'm going to throw another wrench in this conversation where my head is going for you, because your work, like on your Instagram, the picture of the bride reaching out to her dad and him crying, like it made me like catch in my throat. Like your work is incredible. And I know that you said you're scaling back from weddings. Part of me is, okay, I'm looking at like your newborn prices and obviously those need to go up. And you said that you've kept them low just because of like looking around. But here's my question. So when you look at something, let's say you have five of something and four of them are the same price and you've got one that's significantly higher, my mind automatically goes to that's the better one just because it's priced higher. Mm-hmm. And that's where I want to position myself. I don't want to be in the rankings with everybody else. Obviously, you need to base everything on your cost of doing business. But even in the mindset that you're at right now, where you're looking at everyone around you, take it out of that and elevate yourself to where you're not competing with them. maybe you're competing with, and me and Jenny say this all the time, like you're competing with one other person that's really expensive in your area, not 50 other people that are $400 for a newborn session. And with weddings, if you are hesitant about training someone and whatever, make your entry level wedding price $10,000. That's it. And so sure, you'll do a wedding, but it's going to be $10,000. And your work demands that, like absolutely 1,000%. And so if someone wants you to do their wedding, they'll pay it. They will. And you can always keep weddings there and available, but they'll have to pay a premium to get you to put your pants on and go on a Saturday and leave your daughter at home.
A question based on that. So if I did just raise my wedding prices so that I could maybe still do a few, but they would be feel a little bit more worth it. Do you recommend me leaving my website the way it is with having all that wedding content on there? Does my website, when you guys look at it, does it seem more motherhood or does it seem more wedding, or is it just like too overcrowded with everything is my question.
I honestly think it's fine. I think, so I was clicking around your website earlier too, and I don't know, for the longest time, I was really in the camp of separating things, but I just think as small businesses wearing all of the hats, there's only so many things that we can keep up with. Like, I don't know that I'd want to have separate Instagram, separate websites, separate contact forms and whatnot. And truly, like Kim said, you have the upper hand with taking your brides and just moving them along. Like, you can brand that of it is all the same ideal client. But you've got your brides, then they start having babies. That's not the same as having your website have commercial work that is so randomly out there unrelated to babies and then newborns. Like, it really does go together. And I think as long as you keep it, I think you can do it all together.
Okay. Yeah. And like up top, it's all, you can navigate it easy. The only thing that I'm going to tell you is that maybe reach out to Melissa, like our SEO guru in the group, because whenever I click on like the weddings tab, let me click really quick on maternity and newborn and see. It's show. So maternity and newborn is, hold on. Let me see if that's fine. I'm looking at your, yeah, so that one's fine. But like on weddings, it's showing that you don't have a clear H1. So I would just make sure that all of your SEO, because you are targeting like weddings and maternity and newborn and family, that all of your SEO is like absolutely perfect. So that way, when Google is crawling your website, it's very clear on who you are and who you serve so that it can really pull your site when people are searching for you.
Okay. Okay.
Do you try to keep in touch with your brides, walking them to that next phase when they have children?
Most of my newborn clients in the beginning were past families, and almost all of my milestone sessions have been, or past brides. So that has been really great. But I don't know. I just feel so disconnected from that season of life since becoming a mom. I got married almost 10 years ago. So I just feel so much older than them. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, I feel that.
Yeah. I just feel more connected to my family clients and to those mothers. And I feel like I can serve them best. So I love the income from weddings, but it's just not where my heart is. So that's why I like the idea of the associate. That way I can still be in that industry, but not really be in it physically.
And for us too, I'll say it may be the same there. There are different kinds of brides. And I think when you're that younger photographer, you get a lot of the really young brides. Mm-hmm. But I think if you stay in it long enough, we started to get more of a professional bride where she wasn't just the girl straight out of college. She already had her career. She knows she might be in her late 20s, early 30s. And so Josh and I started to see a lot of that bride, and I love that bride. Like, they're so often by that time, we're all a little more mature and it gets really about the marriage and not the wedding. And so you being in the industry, you probably know what I'm talking about with a different kind of bride. But I think if you had maybe an associate that might fit that younger, hip, out of college bride, that a lot of that is about trends and what's current and fashion, and you could maybe up your prices and migrate to that bride that you might have a little more in common with and focus more on the portrait side of things. I think that would be a great fit for you.
I agree with Kim. I was going to say you could totally keep your wedding pricing as it is now for an associate or two. And then maybe you do 3 to 5 a year at 10K plus or something. That way, number one, you are pulling that bride that Kim's talking about. And two, like it's a very close, I think you might feel so removed, but like, I've had so many newborn clients that have either had babies first and then got married just because of COVID, especially in the past few years. They were engaged or even just dating and they were like, we can't have a big wedding, but we don't want to wait to start our family and things like that. So there are, I think, more and more people just flipping it. And two, if they are a little bit older, they might be getting married and having babies within the next year. Like it's probably closer than you think too. I would hate to give that up. When number one, it sounds so profitable for you and you're so good at it and you've built that up.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I'll be honest, before this, I was like, I just want to get out of it completely. And now I'm like, maybe there's a way to keep it in just a different avenue. So this is super helpful for sure.
My brother always says, don't close the well before it's dry.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Before the new well is running.
Well, exactly. Remember when I was moving to Asheville and I was like, what do I do? And I'm tossing around like all these ideas. And he was like, you definitely don't close Houston. That's like perfect and a million clients and all the things. And that's what he told me. And I remember laughing and it stuck with me, which obviously, yeah. Anyways,
I know that, but TMA, we're big proponents for niching down and specializing. And I do believe that, but there is a trend. I don't think trend maybe is even the right word, but I have heard several people talk more lately on the kind of that theme. Yeah, you can still specialize and you don't have to say no to everything else. If you want to do it or make it profitable, or there's a way to still be known for something, but to do other things as well. And I think too, maybe that the economy that we're in right now, sometimes you need to do a few other things. So,
yeah.
Especially when your work matches so well. Like there are some wedding photographers that I see that I'm like, your wedding work and your portrait work or your newborn work is just so drastically different. Mm-hmm. I always felt like mine was that way, which is why it was hard for me to get on board with meshing the two, but like yours is not like that. Yours really does flow together so well. So it makes sense. You can specialize in, like, specialization isn't just one genre. Like it could be like in style and the type of client, which I think you're already doing really well.
Thank you.
I know you had questions about selling products and a few other questions. I think let's go back to your pricing for newborns, your collection, your membership pricing. I forget how you had that. Let me look here. We would consider that all inclusive. Do you want to talk a little bit, Jenny, about, I always feel, and we've said this before, but to me, it's easier to have a lower creative fee and then to sell after the session. And are you like, how are you trying to sell? Are you doing any in-person appointments or sales appointments, or is everything set up in a gallery? What's your process for selling, Grace Ann?
Yeah. So I deliver the gallery. They're all edited with a watermark, and then they make a favorites list of the ones they want that are included. And then I let them know in the email, if you favorite more than the 15 that come with your package, you'll be invoiced for the additional photos. And so they just heart however many they want, but all of them so far have said, we just want to go ahead and buy them all. So I did think about doing a creative fee for the newborn session and making it, or doing $400 and you get 15 newborn images and then you have to purchase the rest. But I think my fear with that was, what if no one purchases the rest and then I've lowered the price and then it's not working?
What if you just did a creative fee that didn't include anything?
Yeah, I guess I'm just scared of that because nobody does that in my city, but I guess it would be like the purple couch.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I was going to say, That is really great news if nobody's doing that. First of all, I'm not 100% convinced that's true because I feel like we have some people around your area that are doing that. But without knowing for sure, let's just pretend that you really are the only one doing that. Truly, I have always felt that taking a small amount up front just to have some skin in the game and cover like my time booking your session, my time sending the welcome box, things like that, and then allowing them to see their images and make those choices after is a service to your client. I know people think it's just easier and you're doing the client a favor by making it all inclusive, but I don't think that's true. And I think when you're talking about wanting to sell more printed artwork, sell more albums, things like that, you are automatically making it exponentially harder on yourself to do that when you're all inclusive. Even if you show albums every other post, put them in their gallery, or bring a sample to a session, you're really telling them when you're all inclusive, this is it. This is the ceiling. You're capping it. And it's just, it's not even in their mind to really think about, oh, do I want to add this? Whereas if you, I'm like a huge a la carte fan, I would do that commission fee up front. And then after their session, they can choose to buy. There's not preset collections of like different products and files together, but they can choose to buy various files, products, things like that, and rewarding them in different ways. The more you spend on artwork or things like that, or hey, you want to buy an album with files, you get a discount on something here, or you get a better price on this by adding an album. Give them the incentive to do so. But I think that's really hard when you're all inclusive. Profitability aside, that's a whole nother issue. I don't think any of these prices, really, I think $500 and under is not going to be sustainable and profitable at all. And $1,000 and under is, if you're in that $500 to $1,000 range, it is going to be a hustle and you're going to have to do a lot of sessions to be truly profitable to pay yourself a salary that you can live on.
So if, because I feel like that would be such a shift for my like current client base, mm-hmm. what do you recommend for a session fee? Should I make the creative fee? Should I make it what the price is now? Say for example, $450 for a newborn session, mm-hmm. and then additional for the other things, or do I make this the creative fee a little bit lower than what my price is currently for all inclusive?
Do you know what your cost of doing business is?
Yeah. Yes, it's about $700 to $800 per session.
Okay, so you already know that like your prices are well below, especially yes. for the upgrade. So well, you know that like it's not profitable.
Before, when I first joined TMA and was doing cost of business, it was tricky because I was trying to factor in weddings as well. Yeah. So that new cost of business is without doing any weddings and just Perfect. Trying to focus on motherhood. So that's why I haven't shifted anything because I haven't been able to figure out what that cost of business is, but I now have. Yes, I know they're well low. They're very low.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take $800. Let's pretend that's the minimum you need to make from every portrait session to pay yourself like a livable salary, assuming you do no other weddings and you only do portraits full time. I would personally do a $200 to $300 commission fee, and okay. then probably have files start at, depending on what you do, like $500 to $600, and maybe that's 5 or 10 files. And then maybe you go up $200 and you get 20 files, and then up another couple $100. And that's the full gallery of files, whatever that number ends up being.
Okay.
That's my favorite way to do it.
Okay.
You just want to always make sure, this goes for anybody at any pricing structure. I don't care if you're doing all-inclusive collections, a la carte, create your own collection, whatever you want to call it, any of those. You don't want to ever get into the position where a client can buy what they, obviously a client can walk away without buying anything. That's a whole separate issue, but you don't want to offer something that a client can purchase and walk away with less than your minimum cost of doing business spent. So if that is $800 for you, like every session needs to make you at least $800.
So for albums, would you said you would offer like an incentive for the digitals if they get an album? Would you ever recommend like other way around, if they purchase all the digitals, they could get a discount on the album, or do you recommend the other way?
I think honestly, you could do it either way, whatever feels right to you. You'd have to play around with the numbers. I know albums, I don't know where you're doing your albums, but those add up quickly. And so when I saw your prices, let's just take that 450 newborn session, you would have to charge so much more than 450 for an album to be profitable that it makes sense that the clients who are spending 450 for an all-inclusive session are probably not even going to consider a $1,000 plus album. And that's on the low side, I think. I think albums can go way higher than that, but it's just a totally different like mindset and client and type of buyer that I don't think you're going to hit right now as you are.
So yeah, I just with my, I guess I should step out of fear with it because with my weddings, I was so afraid. I remember the time when I thought to myself, I'll never charge more than like $3,000 for a wedding. And now I'm double that and I reached a new market. So do you, I
Exactly.
guess you guys find when you, the same thing with motherhood, you reach a new market after a while. Is that how it happened?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, you do. And I'll say one thing too, and Jenny does this with her digitals, and I've followed suit with you saying that 800 is your minimum. The first thing that came to my mind was if you did a $300 creative fee and then you did 10 files for 500, 20 files for 800, and all for 1,000, like that's those steps, those increments just in the client's mind makes it so easy for them to be like, oh, I'm just gonna keep going. And then suddenly they're at 1,000 and all of them are getting all of their files. So I feel like, I don't know, with your minimum cost of doing business being $800, I feel like for me, when that was where I was at, that's where I was the busiest, truly. Like where my digital files were $900, I had so many clients. And then from there, it was pretty easy to just continuously increase my prices because you can give yourself a raise by increasing your creative fee. You can do it by increasing your digitals, all of that. But getting yourself to like that spot, I don't know. I feel like that's going to be a big jump for you. And then you can easily, after the fact, when they're looking at their pictures, they can justify those jumps in their heads because they want all of their images.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it stupid simple to, or stupid easy to go up in file amount or to all. It's crazy. In my opinion, it's crazy to spend $500 on 10 files when you could spend $800 for 20, or Allison said 1,000 for all of them. That's just a no-brainer to me. So you want to reward them for spending more and getting more. And it's a balance of what they think they want. Everybody thinks they want files. And I do truly want my clients to also have files, but figuring out, okay, I need to at least make this to make it worth it. I'm happy for you to get what you want, but I want to reward you for also getting what I want, things like that, you know?
And if you're wanting to sell albums, then you can also really incentivize that by if they are getting their full digital gallery, then maybe that comes with a $200 album credit. And then add that on to where
Okay, yeah.
they don't have to use it, but if they don't, then they just lose it. Like it's not, you're not giving them like an actual like dollar discount anywhere where you're factoring it into your cost of goods when you're calculating the price of your album, so that if they are using that $200 discount, you're still making profit on an album. You're still able to pay for the album, all of that. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
so that way you're really funneling them like, okay, if I get all of my images, then I also get a discount off the album as well. And so you can really price things that way. If I were you, I would do that. I would also do what Kim said. I would hire some associates and I would also increase your wedding pricing to $10,000 for if they want you to shoot their weddings. That's what I would
Okay.
do.
Okay.
Grace Ann, you said you have a studio.
I do. I share it with two other photographers. One of my partners does mostly couples, and then the other one is also a newborn photographer and family photographer. So our styles are a little bit different, but we're more on the light and airy side. But it's a great space, and we don't feel like competitive with each other at all. It's really a team, so we do love it.
But I guess where I'm going with that is you have a place that you could meet with clients. There's
Yes,
some,
kind of. So
yeah.
it's a small space, and my dream one day is to have my own space because I would love a place where I can, like, with the table and chairs and be able to meet with them. have my wardrobe displayed, all of that. But right now it's really just a shooting room and like a working desk. So all of my like digital sales, like it's all just been like online.
I was just going to say, it's a good learning experience to do some in-person sales because you get immediate feedback and you really can get into the mind of what your client's thinking and what they're wanting. And you can, like, so many times they want to know what you think they should do. And if you love albums and you really want to sell more albums, just sitting with someone, going through their session, saying, I really think you have so many great images that I would definitely do an album. Sometimes that's all it takes. And they can see that you're sincere. And so I know that Jenny and Allison don't do in person so much anymore, but they did do it. And I think just that learning curve of sitting with someone over and over is really helpful. Even if you didn't do it long term, you might want to just try some in-person sales until you get to a point where you feel like you are really in tune with what your client wants and how to suggest that. And that was really helpful for me.
Yeah, I do feel like that would help me gain confidence and seeing them excited about their images and hearing what they want. I do think that would help.
Because sometimes I feel like it's hard. I know it's like when you're Jenny and Allison, I feel like they're great and they can sell anything and their work is beautiful and their clients know them and their process. And so it makes it easier, but there's nothing like sitting with someone and holding albums and seeing maybe images set to music, which is so emotional, and not to be salesy, but just to provide that service of, sometimes you don't know you want that album until you're holding it. Because I remember, Jenny, the first time you came to the indie booth and at the trade show and you picked up that album and you felt how weighty it was and you saw how pretty the fabric was in person. And there's something about holding those things going, oh, I want that. And they've just seen their images for the first time. So they're so in love with them. And it's hard to recreate that in my book.
Yeah, I agree with Kim. There is truly something about putting those things in clients' hands. Like, I was addicted from the very start. They were just, it does make a difference. And so I think you could totally play around with that too.
And you can go to their house. Like, I remember back before I even had a studio, I would load up my car with my little samples and I would go to their home. And I think that there's something to be said for selling to them in their home versus a studio. But you can see their walls, you can see their space, they're in their place of comfort. I think that probably my sales may have even been higher in person when it's in their home versus coming to the studio. I just got lazy, if you will, and had people come to me. I, like Kim said, even if you're not going to do in-person sales for the long run, it really does give you valuable feedback for just you as an artist and the images that your clients go for and how to sell to them, all of those things. So even if you only did 3 or 4 appointments, it would give you some good feedback.
And selling in the moment. Okay, they've seen their images. Think about going shopping and buying like a dress that you fell in love with in the store. And then you get it home and you look at it hanging there for a while and you're going, why did I spend that much money on that? I don't know. Not that it's the same thing, but in the moment. And then Grant, I feel like sometimes like with galleries, then they bring in like, mother-in-law, what do you think? And Aunt Susie, what do you think? And then you've got everybody's opinions and mom's saying, what are you going to do with all those photos? And like, you want to be the voice that walks them through that process. So that's another reason I really love in-person sales.
Yeah, now that I'm a mom, I'm like, how could you not spend, I would spend $2,000 for a million pictures of my baby's cheeks. So
right.
You're never going to get those little cheeks back. So
see, and you could tell them that.
I do have one random question. It's related to my studio. So right now I only offer newborn in my studio because I don't love doing in-home newborn sessions. It hasn't been a problem so far. I think I've only had 2 or 3, maybe 4 clients request home. And then when I let them know I only do studio, they ghosted me. But Do you think that's like hindering my business if I'm trying to transition fully into motherhood, or do you think it's okay that I'm wanting to stick to my studio?
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we mostly do, I would say 99% of our stuff is in studio. We'll randomly have people ask about doing an in-home session, and we immediately tell them it's a $300 convenience fee, and we request pictures of their home just because we tell them we want to make sure that the lighting is good, that we can deliver something somewhat similar to what they've seen on the website. And we just explain, we can't just show up to a house with like dark blue walls and give you something like what you have fallen in love with online. And I think that once I explain in detail why we have people come to the studio, a lot of times clients are like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't want to have to like clean my house. And yeah, I wasn't wanting to do, I didn't realize, they don't realize lighting and furniture and this and that all goes into it. If 4 clients out of a year are saying no to you, then I think that's okay. I think that eventually, maybe if you get your own place and you want to have a bed with some pillows, maybe that can add a little, you know, more options for them. But I wouldn't try to be everything for everybody.
Okay. Yeah, we have a bed in there, but it's pretty neutral other than that. We have a couple benches, but I didn't know if I should add some more homey elements decor-wise, maybe like a little side table or a little tree, just something that makes it look a little more set up, but then I don't want to take away from the value of it's timeless, it's neutral. Yeah, just wasn't sure if what I should do in that direction.
I think that people that want in-home sessions want it to look like their home. So I wouldn't decorate your studio to look like a home. I would have it like just there's a clear distinction between it. And I would just continue to explain the benefits of them being able to come to a studio and then just decide if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. You don't have to go to their home.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think about upcharging for it and then also having them send pictures. So that's really helpful. In case they challenge back on it.
Yeah. Cause
and
if you have
surprised
a,
at how yeah, many people all of a sudden are like, no, we're great with the studio.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens often. If I say, yeah, there's a $300 convenience fee and send me pictures, and if they send pictures that their house might be absolutely beautiful, but if they have walls that are super dark and like really dark wood furniture, and I respond honestly and just say, hey, your house is absolutely beautiful. Everything that I create that has all of these light colors, it's not going to look the same coming to your home. And as long as you're okay with it, that's fine. But I'm just being upfront and honest. Then they're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, we're going to come to your studio. So a lot of times they just need some education from the professional.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You ask about Google reviews, right? Was that right?
Yes. I don't know how to check where I'm ranking on Google. I'm not sure. I need to dive into the education on that, or if you guys can help me with that. How do I find where I'm ranking? Because do reviews help with that, or is it based solely on SEO?
So Google reviews are different. Okay. It took me forever to understand this, but your SEO and your website is totally different from your Google business profile and where that's coming up. So your Google business profile, that's where your reviews live. And that's where, like, when they're searching on Google Maps, you'll come up in the map pack, like your top 3 results on like businesses nearby and stuff like that. So you need to nurture your Google business profile separately from having good SEO on your website, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I see that you have a Wix website, right? And yes. I'm pretty sure that the SEO capabilities on that is not the best from what I've heard. So this is a Melissa question, just because I'm not the expert at all. But if you're like thinking about switching to Showit, I know that Showit is supposed to be great for SEO as far as what I've heard. And knowing where you rank on Google, that's going to be Google Search Console. So getting that set up and being able to look at your results on there, like where you're, like what people are searching to get to you, where you're ranking, all of that. And there's all the content in the membership is going to help you figure out like what keywords you should be putting on your website and using as your H1s and all of that good stuff. So It's a lot, but SEO is probably the biggest thing that I would spend time on in order to really reach those ideal clients, especially if you're getting ready to do a really big price hike and you're needing to find some new clients as well.
Okay. So you would recommend pouring more into SEO rather than committing, for example, to post a reel every single week and try to build engagement there. You think the SEO is more valuable?
Yeah, I think that SEO and the SEO is like a long, you're not going to see results tomorrow. You're not going to see results next week. But if you start with your SEO now, then 3 months from now is when you're going to start seeing those results start to trickle in. And so it's something that you need to be consistent on and put effort and energy to. Because to me, and I think that Kim and Jenny will agree, we don't necessarily know what is going to happen with social media or where any of that's going to go. But as far as like our website, like we own that and we can do exactly what we're supposed to with our SEO to make it better. And so for me, that is where I invested with Melissa and had her redo my SEO to make it perfect. And then a couple months later, I'm number one for my keywords. And so I can always count on clients coming in through Google results to inquire with me. Whereas like I could post 3 reels in a week and they get no views for whatever reason. And that is time not well spent that week. So in social media is important to show up, absolutely. But I feel like SEO and working on that is number one in my books.
Okay. Another random question I had is I just started building a client wardrobe and I have dresses for moms and then a few pieces for children, but mostly for milestone sessions. Most of the moms will choose their favorites on a Pixie Set gallery and then I'll have them all steamed and ready when they arrive. What do you recommend if for me to like with helping style the family? If mom has chosen like a blue dress, but she also likes this white and green dress, how do I help her pick outfits for her family? Do I make like style boards for each dress and send them to her and say, this is what I would recommend? Or like, how do I help her if she hasn't officially decided on one dress?
So whenever I was building my wardrobe, I would send out style boards to them and I would say, okay, this is what I have. And so this is what you need to go buy. And I would link them and okay, they would go and buy things. I think that one really easy thing that you might want to consider is it's pretty easy to carry a few shirts for dads. I still to this day have them bring their own pants just because there's no point in carrying pants for men, but you could easily go and get a couple Henleys to keep there. And then that way they're really only having to like maybe shop for one or two kids, depending on how many they have. But I would have them choose their dress. And then I would just say, hey, based on what you chose, like I would recommend going and buying this. And hopefully they've chosen something that is, or if they've chosen two, then maybe it's like somewhat similar to where they're only having to buy one thing for their kiddos. Okay. Or you can steer them in that direction. Let's say they've chosen 3 dresses from you and 2 are similar and 1 is totally a different color scheme. Maybe you can say, hey, based on what you've chosen, let's go with these 2. That way you're only having to buy 1 option for X kiddo and okay, then send them the links.
Okay. And you feel like sending links, that doesn't feel like overstepping for your client. I just don't want them to feel like I'm telling them what to do. But then I say that and I know you guys are going to say they want you to tell them what to do.
Oh no, they always appreciated that. And I always said, hey, I've gone ahead and put a style board together for you with links. I would recommend like either grabbing this or bringing something similar from the closet if you already have something. But no, I don't think that's overstepping at all. I think that's a service that you're doing for okay, them. Because for me personally, I don't want to try to figure all that stuff out. That is such a pain.
I really see. I love your work so much. And you're not that far from me. So I'm like, could I drive up to Kentucky? I truly think that your biggest issues are your confidence in like these new genres and your pricing. And I think if you can just get past that, and just remember that every time you leave the house, it needs to be profitable, especially if you're leaving your baby girl. and just, yeah, work through those things in your head and you'll be golden.
Awesome. Grace Ann, you need to tag us when you have your first, like,
$1,000.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because you will. I guarantee you, you change your prices on Monday morning, and I guarantee you, you're going to have your first big sale within a month. Your work commands it, and I know that you'll do it.
Thank you, guys. It's really, honestly, I'm so thankful that I got the membership, because I felt so lost and afraid with motherhood stuff before joining, and just all the encouragement and you guys answering all my questions. It's just amazing. So I appreciate it more than
thanks.
Happy to do it.
Thanks, Grace Ann. We appreciate it. Thank you for sharing with everybody so they can learn too. And we appreciate that.
Thanks, guys. I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye.